All right, let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your pens. And your lesson plan. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for giving us another chance to serve you. And I pray you bless us tonight and pray that you would really challenge us to be fruitful with our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 25. I'm sure every one of you in your life, maybe some of y'all haven't because you're so young, but at some point in your life, you're going to have an opportunity to invest your money in something. And when you invest your money in something, one of the first questions you want to ask is, what is the expected ROI? Say ROI. That's called return on investment. What's the ROI? What should I expect? 5%, 10%, 20%, 30%, what it is, whatever it is. So I want to give you a little lesson on how powerful a difference, a few percentage points interest is, especially when you compound it. If you were to take $1,000, and this is in your lesson plan to fill out these answers, $1,000 and invest it for 10 years at 10%, you would get $2,500 back. You don't do anything with it. You put it in there, get 10% a year, never touch it. $2,500. If you got 15%, you'd make $4,045. Same $1,000, 10 years, at 15%, you get $4,000. At 25%, you get $9,300. Okay? You don't do nothing. Nine times your money. 10 years. It's almost adding 1,000 every year. Are you with me? Don't put the amount up for the last one. 100%. You can put 100%, just don't put the money. $1 million. Sorry. $1 million. You took $1,000. And invested at 100% a year for 10 years. That basically you double it every year for 10 years. You make $1 million. Now, how many would prefer the 25% investment over the 100% investment? Anybody? Okay. Anybody would prefer the 15% investment over the 100% investment? How about the 10%? No, neither does God. God don't want you to give him 10%. He don't want you to give him 15%. He don't want you to give him 25%. He wants 100% on your life. Not only 100% of your focus, he wants 100% return on your life, because you are an investment to God. He gave you life. He gave you breath. He gave you talents, spiritual gifts. He gave you opportunity to grow your life and impact your life. And he wants return on his investment. You are not just someone down here walking around doing whatever. He put you here. He designed you. He created you with a purpose to build his kingdom. And he's wanting to see what you're going to do, what he gave you. Are you following me? So we're in week three of this series called Eternal Trust. And today we're going to look at the return investment that God requires on your life and what you're willing to give him back. Now, we're going to look at, in your notes, he'll say, we're going to look at a parable. A parable is a story that teaches a spiritual or eternal principle used in everyday life story. Tell parables all the time. Jesus told parables. Matter of fact, Jesus told stories. Most of what his teaching was with stories. Okay? A metaphor is a word picture that gives room for a wide range of meaning and application. In other words, when God tells a metaphor or someone tells a metaphor in the Bible, when they use a word picture, what they're doing is they're making available a wide range of understanding and meaning. Example, if I said God was like our father, that could mean a lot of things and they would all be true or could be true. Matter of fact, if I asked all of y'all in here to write down a piece of paper one positive thing about your father, I could possibly get 1,500 or so or whatever, how many, I don't know how many people, different answers. And they would all be right about God the Father. So when he uses a metaphor, he's not just trying to teach one thing. He's trying to teach a whole lot of meanings. Was it a plethora of meanings? Would that be right, Mr. Harvey? Yes, sir. Okay. A whole bunch of meanings. Okay. And so he's leaving room for you to get a lot of application. A lot of times you may come to church and think the preacher's speaking to me. And then the person next to you saying, no, he's speaking to me. The person next to you saying, he's speaking to me. And all y'all got different issues. God's speaking to all y'all. So when he uses the metaphor, he's leaving room for a lot of interpretation. Not any interpretation, but a wide range. So we're going to read the story. Let's read the story real quick. Very simple story. It says, verse 14, chapter 25. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, say 5. To another he gave 2, say 2. To another he gave 1, say 1. Each according to his own ability. Immediately he went on a journey. He who received the 5 talents went and traded and made another 5. That's 100%. Say 100%. Likewise, he received 2 talents, gained 2 more. Say 100%. So one guy got 5 talents. He doubled it. Another guy got 2 talents. He doubled it. 100%. Then it says, he who received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his Lord's money. How much percent?
Zero.
If you take what God has given you and you do nothing with it, you get 0 return. God gets 0 return. We didn't even talk about that option. Do you think God was satisfied with a 0 return in your life? Huh? Yes? Okay. Do you think that God, I want you to think about this before you answer. Matter of fact, don't even answer. Just think. Do you think God should keep you alive if you give him nothing in return for your life? Why should he keep you alive? Let's say you say, I don't have anything to do with God, and you're going to go to hell anyway. Why should he keep you alive? There is no reason other than his grace, his undeserved favor. He's giving you opportunity to repent. Because you're going to go to hell anyway. Matter of fact, you may do more and more people harm throughout your life. Why should he keep you alive? I'm not saying he shouldn't. I want you to think about why he should. If you're going to reject him and take everything he's given you and waste it, just something for you to think about. Look what it says. Dang, I should die. Who that preacher think he is? I can't wait to hear. Verse 18. He who received 1 talent went and dug in the ground, hid his Lord's money, and after a long time, the Lord of those accounts came to settle his account. So here's a story. It's a metaphor. The kingdom of God, our relationship with God, heaven, our relationship with God and heaven, is that it's like a man traveling to a far country. He's going to give his servants talents or resources. He's going to go away and expect them to invest it. And he's going to come back and see how they did. That's the kingdom of God. Jesus did. He's giving you talents. He's giving you spiritual gifts. He's giving you opportunity. And he's going to come back and he's going to check and see how well we did. When you and I die as Christians, we will stand before what the Bible calls the Bema seat of Christ. Say Bema. It is the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there's a lot of judgments in the Bible, but there is a judgment for Christians. It's not a judgment whether you go to heaven or hell. It's a judgment based to determine what rewards you get. So let's say you live a Christian 10 years. You're going to stand before God and he's going to say, and he's got TiVo. Here's your life. Here's all the things you did. And he's going to decide out what things you did by faith and give you rewards based on that. And he's going to decide what you did not by faith. And you're not going to get any rewards, and he's going to test it by fire. Now, you'll be saved, but you'll get different amounts of rewards. Okay? It's called the Bema Seat of Christ for Christians. You. And you're going to come and say, hey, God, I went to church 10 years at The Rock, and I went 40 Sundays a year, sang the songs, read my lesson plan. What'd I get for that? He'd be like, well, the first 3 years you went, you were looking for a wife. What you mean? I heard you singing. Your love, oh, she's cute and wonderful. What's your name? Oh, yeah, yeah. What are you talking about, God? Hey, I was there. I was there. So. I'm being 100% dead serious. It is funny, but don't miss the truth in the humor. You are going to be judged by everything you said, your intent, your deeds. Now, what difference does it make? You're in heaven. Here's what difference it makes. The rewards you get enable you to worship God. Because in heaven, worshiping God is obviously praise, but it's also reflecting back his glory to him. And you can't do that without these crowns. And the more you have, the more you can reflect back his glory. So the integrity of your faith walk here on earth is a direct relation to how you're going to worship him in heaven. Ooh. You think you're going to get in there, hey, where's Jesus? What's up, Jesus? You know what I mean? No, I'm not saying you're going to be in the back. I ain't going to be saying, you know, you're going to be looking over the crowd. Man, I didn't do good. Lord, I can't see the Lord. And I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the quality of your worship is directly related to the quality of your life, your faith journey here. Okay? Just a little something, something. Three things you need to know about ROI and three things you need to do. Number one, in your notes, God has assigned us as a steward over the talents and expects supernatural results. Say steward. Steward. I'm sorry, say steward. Steward. Steward with a D is a manager. So God has given you resources and talents to manage. And he expects supernatural results. Look what it says, 1A. A talent is a resource such as natural abilities, which you received on your first birthday when you were born. And spiritual gifts is also a talent, which you received on your second birthday or when you was born again. When you're born from your mother, you get natural talents. You can speak, you can organize, you can strategize, you got ideas, you're artistic, whatever it is. And that's from your mother and your father. But then when you get born again, God gives you spiritual gifts that empower those natural talents. They work together. Example, you may know somebody who talks a lot. And before they're saved, you just say they got a big mouth. Then they get saved and God anoints their talking. And he grabs the mouth and says, talk about this. And they become a preacher, a teacher, an evangelist. But before they had a big mouth. But with God, now he uses it. It could be you. Some of y'all have ideas. Some of y'all are artistic. Some of y'all like to plan stuff. You're always helping people. And then God gets you. He says, no, you have to get the helps. You have to get the administration. And so what happens is those two things work together. Then God gives you natural talent, spiritual gifts. Then he gives you opportunity to use them. People come your way with need. So here you are set up with natural talent, spiritual gifts, opportunity, people in need. The kingdom is in need. And you go, I ain't going to do nothing with it. So why should God keep you alive? The sermon's not about challenging you why you should be alive. But let it motivate you. Really, why should you be alive? You're going to die anyway. So why waste God's time? Why waste your time? Don't waste God's time and don't waste your time. Find out what gifts he's given you and get with it. Now, some people who don't believe in God think, well, this is my life. It ain't your life. It's not your life. You can't keep yourself alive. You're going to die one day. Guaranteed. And it's going to be the exact day that God has appointed you. Don't know when it is, how it's going to happen. So before it happens, and before you stand before God, because you will, you're missing out on the opportunity if you miss out on these gifts. And he expects supernatural results. He's saying, listen, I want, matter of fact, you know what he said? He gave one guy 5 talents, another guy 2 talents. What percentage of return did both those guys get? 100. He didn't even give you a 10% option. He wasn't even, no, 10%, 50%, 25% guy. It was 100%. I'm starting at 100%. Then I'm going to go up from there. That's my minimum, 100% or zero. Now remember, it's a metaphor. So the metaphor is like, I expect a lot. I ain't even giving you a little option. Why? Because when you put the Holy Spirit and your spiritual gifts and your natural talent and you just do a little bit, ba-bam, you can't get a little result. When I got saved to Charles Manson looking dudes walked up to me. Hey, we talked to you. I was 19, big old afro. I was smoking weed. I just smoked weed like that day. They led me to the Lord. 10-minute conversation. 10-minute conversation. Changed my life. You never know what little bit you can do and go far away because you're dealing with something so powerful. So when he says 100%, oh, like that. Coach McCartney, Bill McCartney was a football coach at University of Colorado years ago. He started Promise Keepers, the ministry of men. And he was telling a story about they had a big game coming up. And he told his whole team, tomorrow I'm going to call all y'all into my office one at a time. And I'm going to ask you to explain to me what I can expect from you in the game. I want you to tell me what you're going to do in this game. So they all had to go back and think. And all y'all athletes in here, anybody an athlete, any form of fashion, say amen. Okay, all your athletes in here, you know your coach said, listen, I want to know what you're going to do. Specifics. How many yards you going to get? How many tackles? How many base hits? Whatever. Whatever you do, I want to know what you do. Going to do in the game tomorrow. So you got all these kids, I go home, man, I'm going to do this. And they came in and he sat here in the chair and he put the chair right here to sit down. What you going to do? Can you imagine God saying, you got 5 years to live. Tell me what you're going to do. And you saying, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Exactly. If you don't know your spiritual gifts, how you know you're supposed to do? Some of y'all are trying to preach. You can't preach. Stop. Some of y'all are trying to organize stuff and you are just chaotic. You need to know, what am I gifted to do? And that's what I need to do. People want me to counsel them? You don't want me to counsel you. I'm not compassionate. I mean, I'll be nice and blah, 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 but you know, I'm not going to be there week after week. That's not how I'm cut out. And I'm not a bad person for it. This is what I do. Oh, and this too. This too. But I don't do this. Look what it says. Two. God has assigned the various talent amounts in proportion to our ability to manage them. God is going to give you the amount of gifts in proportion to the ability he has given you to manage those gifts. In other words, you may say, they have more gifts than me and I'm jealous. Don't play that game. The devil's getting you distracted. One, you do not know how much someone else has. One of the reasons why you can't even measure. How do you measure someone's gifting ability? You can't. Number two, sometimes someone may have less gift than you, but they're just using it better. And it appears that they have more, but they're just using it better. So don't worry. All you got to worry about is, what do I have and how am I supposed to manage it? How do I manage it to the best of my ability? That's all you need to think about. Never to compare yourself to anybody else. Because when you stand before God, you know what God's going to say? I gave you a one. And you multiplied it over and over. And the next guy, I gave you a 20. You did nothing. Well, I got more than him. He had 1/20 of what you had. I'm measuring you and you. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Look around this room. There's a whole lot of much in this room. There's a whole lot of requirement on us. Now, my problem, it's not your problem. My problem is that I'm going to be held accountable for y'all. Not every individual, but what we collectively do as a church. That's why I'm always saying, let's go. Because my job is to keep this in front of you to make sure you know your responsibility so we do our responsibility. Because you have a responsibility with God and you have a responsibility with your church. And we have a responsibility with Christ. And he's saying, I need y'all to do this. Don't compare yourself to that. Compare yourself to what I see y'all doing and being. I have a theory, and my theory may be wrong. This is the theory. Bear with me. I believe that when you stand before God at the Bema seat, he has your name written in the book of life, that he has a different name than your mother gave you. And I have a theory, just a feeling, that that name has a purpose attached to it. I mean, my name is Miles. It's a distance. People from, you know, where they use the metric system, they call me kilometers. I've been called kilometers like 1,000 times. 8 kilometers. Kilometers. Yeah, I heard it before. Okay, it's not original. How many miles did you go before you sleep? Yeah. I have a feeling that God has another name for me. It has to do with his calling, compatible with my gifting, compatible with my talents, compatible with my passion, compatible with my opportunity. That's what I believe. Paul says he presses on that he may apprehend what Christ apprehended for him. Paul says, I am going to press on to become what Christ created me for. I'm not trying to be like him or her. I'm trying to be like me tomorrow. I want to be that. I believe there's a name for that for every single one of you. That's just my opinion. It doesn't really matter if it's true. There is a purpose for you. And that God, when he sees you in your potential. The devil sees you how he can ruin you. God sees you what you could be. And the challenge for you is to see yourself for what you could be. Show me, God. So he says here, he's going to give you gifts according to your proportion of your ability to manage it. You want more gifts? Learn how to manage the ones you have. We'll see that next week. You're faithful in a little, he'll give you more. You're faithful in that, he'll give you more. A lot of times you see people, why is God giving them all opportunity? Why has God blessed them so much? Because they've been faithful in the little. Number three, your talents have amazing potential. Everyone say potential. There are three types of metaphors in the Bible that talk about spiritual maturity. One type of metaphor are animal metaphors. Whenever you are compared to an animal, that God's trying to tell you what you shouldn't be like. A wolf, tearing people up. There's some wolves in here just looking to see who they can devour. Or a sheep. Sheep are dumb. Don't walk around, oh, I'm a nice little sheep. That means you're just dumb. A viper with a double tongue, spewing out poison and gossip and criticism. So those are talking about what you shouldn't be like. Then there's manufacturing metaphors that talk about how God's going to tell what you really are made of. Like I talked about, the refiner's fire of Christ burning up, being applied to all your works, and some are going to be burnt up and some are going to come through shining like gold and silver. That talks about what you really are. Because some people are a lot of talk, but really, they ain't really committed to Christ. Then there are the plant metaphors. Say plant. The plant metaphors talk about what you should be like. A tree planted by the rivers of water, whose fruit bears its fruit in season and whose leaves never wither. Or a branch abiding in the vine. Or the Bible says that we should bear fruit. So did a little study on some fruit. Got a little fruit tree. We got three fruit trees we're going to show you. Got apple tree. You're like an apple tree. You're supposed to bear fruit. We got avocado tree. And we got an orange tree. Have you ever walked through an orchard? Orchid's a flower. How many of y'all walked through an orchard before? Okay. Have you ever walked through an orchard and heard the trees going, ah? You have? No. Anybody? They're just sitting there going, ah! Yes or no? They're just doing this. Fruit just coming off. They ain't straining. Why? You don't need to strain when you walk with the Lord. Just walk with the Spirit. It starts to happen. Just be obedient. Okay? A few facts about fruit. Now, the reason I'm giving the fruit lesson, because I want to show you the power of one little apple tree, and actually one apple, which you are. Each one of you is an apple tree or orange tree. You are a fruit-bearing organism. You and I are fruit-bearing organisms. And when God says, I want you to get a hundredfold return, he really means it. Watch this. Avocado tree. Avocado trees. There's an avocado tree that is 400 years old and still producing avocados. 400 years old. They produce 150 to 500 avocados a year from one tree. Apple tree. 250 to 1300 apples. Let's say average 600 apples a year for 100 years. That's 60,000 apples from one tree. 60,000 apples. That's a lot of apples. Orange tree. 100 years. There's an orange tree in the Mediterranean. It produces 4,000 oranges a year. You know what God says? I want you to bear fruit. Come on. I want you to bear fruit. Now watch this. Apple. Let's hypothetically say this apple was on that tree and in a lifetime it produced 60,000. You follow me? Yes? If you took half those 60,000, that's 30,000. Half of 60 is 30. And all those 30,000 apples were planted to make a tree. And all those trees made 60,000. But just take half. That's 30 again. If you do that three times, 30,000, 30,000, 30,000. Each 30,000 made a 30,000, made a 30,000. That's 2.7 billion apples from one apple, which made one tree. 2.7 billion. You know what God says to you? Bear fruit. Come on. You multiply 100%? Let me tell you how simple 100% is, how basic. If you, just you, say me. If just you, me, in 1 year's time, you led one person to the Lord. Is that impossible? No. As a matter of fact, is that kind of easy? You should be able to get one person saved in 1 year. Duh. And let's say both of y'all spent another year discipleship and both of y'all got one person. That's four. And let's say both all four of y'all in another year all got one more person. That's eight. You did that for 10 years. That's 1,024 people just from you. Just from you in 10 years. Just from you. Now, last week we talked about on average it's about 12 to 15,000 people that come through those doors in this church. So let's say 10,000. If 10,000 people did that, you would have 10 million people from one church in 10 years. 10 million. Do you know what that means? That's San Diego population times three plus tourists. You know how you get there? Just by you doing one. That's how easy it is. You know what Jesus said, make disciples? It was so simple. So ingenious. Just make one. Why isn't San Diego covered? Because the churches aren't doing their job. If one church can do that, and we got 1,000 churches, what's the problem? We ain't making disciples. We're just going to church. That's the problem. And all we got to do is look to ourselves. Because if all y'all just said, well, all I got to do is do my thing, I can only be responsible for myself. So if you're responsible for yourself, just get your one. And then encourage your one to get one. And pray that one to get one. And next thing you know, boom, 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 pop, bam. I like to yell, sorry. We got a little thing for apples. I want to show you something, a little new school cool thing for apples. We have a red delicious apple. This is not a red delicious apple. I don't know what kind this is, but we got one on the screen. That's a red delicious apple, specific kind. Everyone say number five. Okay, red delicious apples come in blossoms of five. There's five blossoms. One, two, three, four, five. Okay? Each blossom has five petals. Each apple has five lobes. You see the little points on the bottom of an apple? The red delicious apple is five of them. And when you cut it open, it has five seeds and a star. Now, why is that interesting? If anything, that's just cool. If there's no application, that's just cool. But there is an application. The reason that is so critical to know is that God says every single red delicious apple is going to have five lobes, five petals, five blossoms, five seeds, and every single one's going to have a star, and every single one's going to have a seed, and every single one's going to have seeds with apple technology in the seed to make another tree that's going to make another apples that all have five lobes and five petals and five blossoms. Over every single one's going to have the same. Why is that important for you to know? Because when you look yourself in the mirror, you have to understand that you, just like every other human, has the same opportunity from God. You got the same Holy Spirit, same spiritual gifts, at least the ones who have the spiritual gifts like you, but the same Spirit that's giving you gifts. God's going to has the same responsibility he's put on your life to propagate the gospel. He loves you the same. He's going to bring you to heaven. He wants to bless you. He wants to honor your prayers. He wants to honor your obedience just like the next person. He's very consistent. And unlike animals, he's made you in his image, and he's given you the ability to dream and have vision and to go far beyond just the mundane every day. You know, animals, you ever drive by? You ever drive to Ramona? Anyone ever been to Ramona? Raise your hand. Or Julian? And you're driving, you see the cows on the side of the road? What are they doing? They don't do nothing. They eat, they swallow it, they throw it back up and swallow it, chew it again. They give milk, they have baby, they have a calf, they lay down, they go to the bathroom, and then they die. Every animal is like that. They have a very limited, predictable cycle of life, and then they die. You know what he said for man? I'm going to make you in my image, and the sky's the limit, what you won't do. That's the difference. He's saying, I want you to trust that that potential is available to you, and that expectation is available to you. So three things you need to do. Number one is you need to make sure you have received the salvation that brings your talents. Jesus Christ must be your Savior. And when he is your Savior, he will give you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will bring talents, spiritual gifts. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Make sure you've received the Holy Spirit from him. Make sure... you have everything God has to give you to be productive for him. Amen? Number two, identify your talents. We have a spiritual gifts test that is online today. You could take the spiritual gifts test today, answer the questions. It will send you back your spiritual gifts. And it will also give you a list of ministries in the church where you can use it. You can click on that ministry and have an application and fill it out and apply for the ministry just like that. Next week, we're going to have a ministry fair, but you don't got to wait. You can do it today. Start finding out what you are. If you don't know what you are, you can't use yourself. If you don't know what you are, you can't use your gifts. Matter of fact, what is this right here? Everything. Everybody out loud. What is this right here? What is this right here? What is this right here? How do you know? How do you know there's an orange in here? Because it's orange. So you're saying just because it's orange on the outside, there's orange on the inside. Is that what you're saying? So you're saying just because it's an apple on the outside, it's an apple on the inside. What are you saying? Just because it's an apple on the outside, it's an apple on the inside. Is that what you're saying? That's called integrity. Being the same on the outside as on the inside. Everything God has made has integrity. We are the only ones that have a choice to have integrity. Because every time you see a Christian on the outside, you don't have a Christian on the inside. Whew. Well, I go to church. Uh-huh. What else you do? Well, I do have another life. Everybody's a Christian on the outside, ain't a Christian on the inside. You know what God says? I want you to bear fruit. If you bear fruit, you got to have integrity. You got to be the same on the outside and the inside. If this avocado was confused, it said, I'm an orange. And I want someone to make a smoothie out of me. The apple gets to be in the smoothie. and the orange gets to be in the banana. How come I can't get them being in a smoothie? And then one day he gets frustrated because he sees his boys is becoming smoothies every day. He don't ever become smooth. Then one day the avocado, the orange comes over and says, "Yo, let me give you a heads up. You're an avocado. You ain't an orange. I mean, you're an avocado." And then he says, "Guacamole. I want to be guacamole." He says, "That's right. Your Uncle Louie was at the El Torito's last night." And your Aunt Rose, you know, she's a little mental. She was at Roberto's, okay? They got the little cheese stuff over there. "No, I want to be guacamole at the Four Seasons, where it's $9 for a little scoop." If you do not know what you are, you cannot be it. If you don't know your spiritual gifts, guess what? They are in the ground. And you are what we will see next week, a wicked and lazy servant. But Jesus called that person. Not me. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. The challenge for you is to say, this is what I want to, this is what God made me, and I need to use it. Look what it says in your notes. Look at some spiritual gifts. Prophecy. Prophecy is not predicting the future. It's just, thus saith the Lord. Serving. How many of y'all like to serve people? Just like to serve people. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what? God made you a servant. Guess what you need to do? Serve. You need to serve people. That is a spiritual gift. That is a, now, by the way, all of us need to do all of this stuff to some degree. The people who have the gift are supernaturally dispositioned to do it. If you don't know a word, make it up. Teaching. How many of y'all like to teach? Not everybody who likes to teach can teach, though. Here's why. People who serve, because service, especially in our culture, not the Bible, but in our culture, service is like a second level job, but not in the Bible, just our culture. And teaching in our culture is a first level. So a lot of people want the first level because it's an ego thing, but they're not necessarily gifted to teach. We have to get our culture out of it and see all these gifts working together. They have to work together. None is more important than another. Look what it says next. Encouraging. How many of y'all love to encourage people? Well, encourage people. If you don't encourage people, you're going to go crazy. You're going to be walking around talking to the dog. "Oh, you look so good today. Come here, dog. Let me pet you. You look really good." Why? Because God, he put that in you and your engine's running. You got to courage. You got to serve. And you may find yourself frustrated. You know why you're frustrated? Because you're not exercising your gift. We have to give you the opportunity. You have to pursue the opportunity. All y'all who raise your hand, I wonder how many of you are teaching. I wonder how many of you are encouraging. Giving. How many of y'all like to give? Give. Give. Find a place to give. How many of y'all like to lead? Raise your hand up high. Be proud. Here's the problem with people who have, but let me do the last one, then I'll say this. Showing mercy. How about people who show mercy? Just want people to feel good and be encouraged. You know, that's a spiritual gift. Now, here's the problem. Some of the people who show mercy, they're not necessarily strong leaders. And some of the people who lead aren't necessarily real high mercy people. So the mercy people go, "Oh, they care about is just getting the work done. They don't care about anybody." And then the leadership people go, "They don't get nothing done. They just talk to people." Are y'all feeling me on this? The problem is the mercy people need the leadership people or they won't get anything done. And the leadership people need the mercy people. Everybody's going to be mad at the end of the project. We have to work together. What the devil does, he says, starts to criticize each other because we're not like us. Let me tell you something. If you were really all that, God would have made another one like you. Think about that. He should be more like me. God said, "No, he shouldn't. If I wanted him to be like you, I'd have made you. I only made one of you. The world can only take one of you." The flip side of that is that God wants us to be unique. It's the other way of looking at that. But the point is this. The people who lead need the people who have mercy, need the people who give, need the people who encourage. We all have to work together. Now, if all of us in this church decide to get in ministries where we start to work together and use our gifts, 100% is nothing. It's nothing. It's easy. Because one person gets saved, that person goes out and blam. Another person gets saved, they go out, ba-ba-ba-ba-da. Stuff just starts happening all over the planet and you didn't do anything. It's like the fruit tree going. You pick all the fruit off, it's like, I'll just make some more next year. That's what God wants us to be like. But if we start working together like that, look at the next one. It says, begin nurturing and using your gifts. After you know what your gifts are, then we go to work. If you're a teacher, let's go teach. If you're an encourager, how many people got the gift of encouragement? Just raise your hand real quick if you're a gift of encouragement. Guess what? Do you know how many people in San Diego are suicidal right now? You have any people in San Diego who are depressed? People who I was watching, I think it was Cold Case last night. Anyone see Cold Case last night? I don't watch Cold Case. It came on an odd night and I was like, all right. And it was about a lot of stuff, but part of it was a couple, they were married young, and they never really got a divorce, but they broke up. It didn't work. And the girl was saying to her husband, they were 20-something years old, she was crying, I don't want to be a divorce person. How come we can't make it? They fell in love in high school, and they thought it would just be like that for the rest of their life. Life is different when you get out of high school. It's a lot more different when you get out of college. You don't know until you get there. You got to trust what your parents tell you. They do know what they're talking about. You don't know all you think you know. And when they got into real life, they were like, this is hard. And I was like, and they were like, how? Here's what they said. Here's what she said. How come we can't fix it? And it's a cold case. It's TV. It's fake. You need Jesus. I wanted to get on coldcase.com and email them. You need Jesus. But you know the reality? Is that there are people all over San Diego and the world just like that. What blesses my heart so much in this church, and any church for that matter, is to hear people, it's blessed me so much to see couples 20-something years old, married, literally will say this. There was one couple, they actually split up. He got saved, came back to the church, and they're happily married and on passionately in love with each other. They went from being this to being this only because of God. God does that. So all you people who are encouraging people, who God's gives encouragement, God gave you that gift for them. You don't encourage yourself. You'll sit there and go, man, you're so good. You got to get it from someone else. I don't encourage myself. I got to go get something from someone else. So it's like, can I encourage myself? Yeah, a little bit, but not most of the time. It's most of the time you got to get it from someone else. And God's given to you for someone else. So there's all these hurting people and all these people with this gift and it's like rotted fruit on the ground. And God's breaking his heart. It's breaking his heart. Because he's seeing all these people. That's why I sometimes get so frustrated when I meet people who have a need, and here we have all this power. We can help that need. That's what this is all about. That's what Christianity is about. This Wednesday, I'm speaking at the Crystal Cathedral. You know, Robert Shuler, Crystal Cathedral up in Orange County. You ever see that TV? Ooh. They're having a conference. It's a leadership conference for pastors and people in ministry. And the topic is the future of faith in America. So you talk 17 minutes and you have a little panel discussion with the group. I don't know how many people are going to be there. And I'm so jacked up. Because, like, the future is going to be what we make it. Forget what the government does. Forget what society does. What are we going to do? We got the power. They can't stop us if we do what we do. But we say, well, we got to be politically correct. We don't want to offend anybody. We'll put all this power in a little bottle. Okay, we'll just play the game. Forget the game. We own this place. And so if we got all this power, let's use the power. You have that opportunity. And God's like, I want 100% minimum. So here we are as a church, just in this one room. If you go to the orchards, you'll walk around and you'll see all these oranges laying on the ground, knowing there's millions of people starving to death in this world. We're talking about physical oranges. Now look around the room and look at all the oranges laying in this room right now, all the talent God's given you. There are pastors of churches in this room, evangelists in this room, church administrators, missionaries, corporate executives build big companies on integrity. It's movie directors to make real good movies in this room right now. And the devil's strategizing how to take all that and bury it. And he will try to get you to sell out for money, for fame. You see it all the time, these people singing for God and they sell out for money so they can shake their booty all over TV and be a feral. Did I say it right, girl? Go ahead, girl. God's like, man. And then he get another person. Man. See all these people, Grammys coming up. When you see the Grammys, I don't know if you're going to watch it. When you see the Grammys, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see people that God has blessed with incredible talent and creativity, and the devil got them. That's what you're going to watch. They didn't get it from the devil. They did not get that from the devil. They got it from God. The Lord Jesus Christ gave them that talent. And now it's all theirs to do what they want, so they think. And God's going, man, breaks his heart. Wasted. Wasted on money. God's like, don't do that. Don't do that. So here's my encouragement to you. A couple things. One, take the gifts test. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We've had Saturday night and the first three services, around 10% of the people have taken the test so far. Last night, 10% took it. When you take it, we count them. We have 480 people take it so far, and it's about 4,000 something people came to church. So 90% haven't taken it yet. Okay. Now, I can understand the people today, but the people last night went home. I hope that 90% don't continue not to take it, because that means all this fell on deaf ears, unless, of course, you know what it is. But, you know, I don't think most people know what it is. I could be wrong. I don't think I am. My challenge to you is go at least take the test, because if you're an apple and you think you're an orange, you're confused. And you're going to have a wrong expectation on your life for your whole life. And you will never, ever become an orange if you're an apple. God is not going to change his mind, no matter how much you try. Take a test. Don't waste your life. You guys are so young. Don't waste 20, 30 years trying to be something you're never going to be. You know, I can do all things Christ strengthens you. That's not true. You can't do anything you want. You know, I was watching a basketball game the other day, NBA, and I was like, you know what? If I said, I'm a Christian, I want to dunk the basketball in Kobe's face in an NBA game. That ain't ever going to happen no matter how much I pray. Period. So I really can't do all things Christ said. I can do what God wants me to do. It doesn't really mean that. What it means is that whatever God puts you through, you can get through. That's what that verse means. It doesn't mean you can do anything you want, because you can't do anything you want. But you can do anything you want that God has ordained you to do. And I can tell you, everything he's ordained you to do is within the parameters of what he's gifted you to do. But you first have to know what he's gifted you to do. So take the test. Look at the ministries and say, God, I'm ready to go. Now, some of y'all in here don't have Christ in your heart. You don't have those spiritual gifts. You got natural talent. And I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be your savior. Do you know that when an orange tree grows, it takes about a year to mature? And before it matures, it has thorns. And then when and while it's thorny, it produces no fruit. And then when the thorns go away, the fruit comes. You know what's interesting about that? You can't be like a knucklehead person and bear fruit at the same time. The knuckleheadness goes away and the fruit comes out. The avocado trees, they prune away like a lot of other plants. And when they prune away, they're increasing the sunlight to the rest of the tree. When you go through trials, God's pruning you away to get more sun in your life. More wind. The more wind that blows on the avocado tree, the more avocados it produces. The more the Holy Spirit blows in your life, the more produced fruit is in your life. God says, be a fruit tree. Produce 100-fold, 200-fold, 300-fold, 1,000-fold. There's no limit. I can go however you want to go. First thing you have to do is ask Christ to be your Savior, and then you can start playing by these rules right here and seeing amazing things happen in your life. For all y'all who are from San Diego State, I went to San Diego State in 1982. I was 22 years old, doing cocaine. I took anatomy at San Diego State. Stayed up all night long studying anatomy, doing cocaine. I got saved, got sober in one day, and went back and was a teacher's aide in anatomy class. And that day I got saved, everything was gone. Now my whole life changed. God can do something so amazing in your life. I would have never, ever thought myself to be doing this. God has for you no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind can conceive. It's beyond. But it has to start with you in Christ. It has to start with you knowing what you are, knowing what you're supposed to be, and doing that and not worrying about trying to be what everyone else wants you to be. It's a waste of time. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear God, another night with all these youngins you love so much. Thank you for allowing me to be here with them tonight. And I pray your wisdom is received. I pray they trust you. I pray they believe you. I pray that they have a vision for their life. I pray they believe these things do apply to them. And I pray that they're excited about finding out how you made them and what you made them to be. If you realize that you need Jesus as your Savior tonight, it all starts there. You realize that He died for your sin and rose from the dead. Just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe and have faith. God loves you and He's going to bless you. And just like every apple has those five seeds, every sinner that repents is forgiven. So in the privacy of your heart, just pray this prayer with me. Pray, dear God, I believe you love me. I believe you do have a plan. Jesus, please forgive me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, grant me those gifts. God, I receive your forgiveness tonight. I receive your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing up, you are acknowledging, yes, Jesus has just forgiven me, and I receive from him everything he has for me. Forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, His vision, His plan, His strategy for my life. I receive it. Thank you, God. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, Lord, tonight, me, just stand to your feet and acknowledge His forgiveness in your life. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. 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 God bless you. Good. God bless you. Good. Good. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. All over the room. God is fired up. Angels are dancing and partying. This is a good thing. Anybody else? God bless you. Very good. Now we're going to ask all y'all. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing to do one more thing. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask all y'all from all around the room, back, front, left, right, to step out of your seat, come on down to the altar. Let's give them hands. They come on down. Who's the man? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Stay right there. Very good. Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How you doing? God bless you. All right. God bless you. How you doing? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? How you doing? 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 God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Amen. 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 Come on, keep clapping for him. Let's keep encouraging now. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Y'all know the movie Jerry Maguire? Renee Zellweger? Is it Zellweger? Zellweger? That girl with the eyes. Remember she said to him, "You complete me." Y'all remember that? People don't complete people. If you got an incomplete person, another incomplete person, they get married, you got a messed up marriage. Christ completes you. He's the one who fills the void. He's the one who fills the emptiness in your purpose and your heart. He's the one who does that, makes everything right. Once you got that, you're good to go. So today, he has completed you. Here are your talents. He just filled in the gifts. Here's your purpose. He just filled in the hole. Here's all the emptiness in your life. He just filled it in. Over time, it will become clear to you what he did. But he has completed you. He has a plan, a very good plan. All you got to do is trust him. All the drama in your life, he's got it all figured out. You do not have to fix your drama. If you could have fixed it, you wouldn't be here. He fixes it. All he's going to require you to do is obey him. And the drama will take care of itself. You have to be obedient to him. That's it. Amen? Couple things. All y'all, take the test. Get your friends to take the test. Find out what you are. And let's go to work. For all y'all, we're going to pray for y'all in a minute. Then you're going to follow that young lady right there. If all y'all over here, we're going to try to get these people around into that room. So if y'all could just let them get through so we don't lose anybody. Is that cool? Is there another altar call person over here? Can we have one in the back to just be the last person so we make sure we get them all in there. We're going to pray for y'all. Next week, we're going to finish this series up and bring a friend. We're going to have a ministry fair, have you sign up. So be praying about what you want to do. All those numbers you saw on the ministry fair, we really need those people. When we go to a new place, we're going to have a whole lot more need for people. Whole lot more need. Lord, we just thank you so much for all these people here. And we pray that you bless them. And we pray, God, that somehow, you would do an amazing thing in their life. Pray that somehow they would let you. And we pray that you would make very clear to them how much you love them. Lord, and we pray that they would never go back to what they were. And I pray all of us in here would find out what we are, that we too can be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask all y'all to take a right turn and follow that young lady right there. Amen.